Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Week 8 of the NFL football season coming up tonight. We get the Cardinals and the Packers, big-time game. Last unbeaten team in the NFL, the Cardinals, one-loss Green Bay Packer team, depleted with injuries right now at the wide receiver position. They'll be down their top three targets for Aaron Rodgers. Live coverage of that game coming up at 6 o'clock, kickoff at 6:20. We're going to keep it with football and bring in our next guest. I'm thrilled to welcome in Kenny Houston. He played safety for the Houston Oilers and the Washington Redskins and was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1986. During his time in the NFL, also a 12-time Pro Bowler and a member of the 75th and 100th anniversary all-time teams. Kenny Houston joining us right now over the phone. Kenny, a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the conversation. When we say Kenny Houston, we're talking about a 12-time Pro Bowler and, again, a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Played for the Houston Oilers from 67 to 69 and then from 70 to 72 as well. After that, the merger. Then we had the Redskins until 1980. Kenny, for you being a Pro Football Hall of Famer, playing with two squads, who do you identify as? Are we talking Washington or Houston? Who do you identify yourself as?
the time was almost split. But because for whatever reason, I went in as an Oiler, but I identify myself as a Redskin.
It's interesting to me because, again, you mentioned the Houston Oilers spending almost split time between the two. The Houston Oilers don't exist anymore. Does that play into it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, like you got, I live in the Houston area. So you have the Texans, the Oilers don't exist, and they're in Tennessee, but I was very close in my professional career to the Houston Oilers and the founders of the Houston Oilers, Bud Adams and his family. So it's when you think about it, it's almost like a person without a place.
Yeah.
You know, I do the Redskins stuff. I guess I would be closer to the family now because I was there 8 years. And they are still identifiable, and we are very welcome in that area. So I consider myself as a Redskin.
Well, I want to talk about some of your career accomplishments individually. Two-time first-team All-Pro, 10-time second-team All-Pro. So for 12 seasons, I mean, you're right in the thick with the best in the secondary, right? A 12-time Pro Bowler. You were voted to the NFL 75th anniversary team, the 100th anniversary team, first-team NFL All-70s, All-Decade team, one of the 70th greatest Redskins of all time. We're talking about the Redskins Ring of Fame as well. All of those individual accomplishments, does one stand out meaning more to you than the other?
First of all, when I hear those things, I think they're talking about another person because I was just a football player. I'm happy to receive those honors and awards, you know, after I finished playing the game. And I'm always looking out for someone else. You know, I think that the Hall of Fame for sure, it has to be the most accomplishing thing in my professional football career, but last year when they put out the top 100 players, I really wanted to make that team, you know, because when you say the top 100 players, it goes across years. And to be identified as one of those in that number, and there are so many guys, I realize how fortunate that we are that made that team because it's a lot of guys who would never get the recognition of being the type of players that they were or are.
That makes sense. No, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame, every Hall of Famer that I have talked to has brought up this idea that it becomes a brotherhood, right? You play against these guys and you compete at such a high level for so long, but it finally comes together. You guys are your brothers now. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. And the thing about being a Hall of Famer, when you go in the building, you become a part of something that's much greater than you. I think they opened it in 63, I believe it was, or something like that. And it was for that first group of guys. And so I was in awe when I went in and I got a chance to meet them, Marion Miley, the Night Train Lane, the people that I read about, and actually had a chance to see and touch. And right away, we identified with each other because the game was what was more important than the individual. And so we identified as being a part of the game, not an individual. It's not an individual trip because there are 11 guys on the team. Okay, and if you don't have those guys playing, which you don't stand a chance at all, and so you feel bad once you get in there for the guys who didn't make it, and that's the way it is. They've gone this last couple of years to get more guys in who rightfully deserve to be there, but it's just set up like that, and you never take it for granted once you get in the hall.
Again, our guest right now, Kenny Houston, joining us to talk about his legendary career. You talk about being voted to the top 100 players of all time list. Obviously, a great accomplishment. It's not a surprise to me that you made that list. I think when you take a look at the top five safeties of all time, you definitely hold a spot there. I mean, Ronnie Lott, Ed Reed, I think you got to put Kenny Houston in that same category. And for those who are really unfamiliar with your career, between your time with Houston and Washington, you registered 49 interceptions and 12 touchdowns. Those are fairly phenomenal numbers. You were known as a player that did it all. I mean, you were a ball hawk. You were a brutal tackler. I believe it was 21 fumbles, if I'm not mistaken, you recovered as well. So when you look at the statistics that you gathered over the course of your career, how did you manage to keep it together for 12 solid seasons in that regard?
You know, first of all, it's my faith in God that allowed me to be, and I never became a selfish individual. This whole thing was never about me. It was never about me. It was a job that I was allowed to do. I felt like I was obligated to the job. When you look at football, you have to understand this. The game has missed players, but it has never missed a play. I broke my arm in my 13th year, and I had played all those games for 13 years. And when I broke my arm, everybody got quiet, the stadium was quiet, and as they were taking me off field and taking me to the locker room, I heard all this cheering break out, and I said, what is going on? And the game had started without me. It was the first time in 13 years. And I realized then, the game has missed players, but it has never missed a play. So when you see where you fit, you're not the most important person on the field. You are a part of a team. You're part of a yearly adventure that people should get a chance to go out and play. So the best thing I can say is that you never put yourself where you think you ought to be. You allow people to place you where you are.
It's a different type of perspective. I like the way you say that. The game missed players, but it's never missed a play. That's a fantastic way of looking at things. Ken, I want to talk about your career as an athlete, because I think in today's realm, this is such an important lesson. When you go to college, you go to Prairie View A&M, you also ran track, and you were on the swim team for 4 years as well. And I try to stress this to young kids so often that specialize in one sport. You shouldn't do that, right? I think you can look at Kenny Houston's career and say, you shouldn't specialize in one sport, because you certainly did not when you were in college.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I was an offensive center. I don't know if you knew that. In high school, went to Prairie View as an offensive center, and I was the number 7 offensive center on that team. They had a lot of great talent. And so I was just happy to be to get a scholarship, be on the team, and I let it in track, and I let it in the shot put of all things. I came out third place, and so all this time, I was just a person looking for a spot. When I got drafted, I had never played strong safety before I got drafted in the NFL. And when I got with the Oilers, they had me penciled in as a strong safety. And I remember Bobby Jancic was a starting strong safety. He got hurt, and they put me in the game. And I went in the game, and I intercepted the pass. It was against Kansas City. And I ran this ball back up probably 90-something yards, and I got tired and ran out of bounds. And it would have been the longest interception return in all of, you know, book. But, you know, in my 14th year when I retired, I was still learning how to play football. So, you know, it was never about me looking out. I was just happy to be a part of. You have that camaraderie. And you have to forget, you can't ever forget, it's not about you, it's about the team.
With that being said, you talked about some of the other sports and how you for one, you were not supposed to play safety, offensive lineman, linebacker as well, right? So then you make the change to safety. With that being said, running track and field, participating on the swim squad, how did that shape you into the professional, the Pro Football Hall of Famer that you become? Did that play a factor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you play all sports go together. What happened now, you don't know what your sport's going to be. You come in now, they identify you as a football player, as a golfer, as a whatever. But we were allowed to play all sports. And each sport helped develop you for being that individual so you can be well-rounded. And it also be a different type of muscle. You know, you get a chance to meet different people. I just think it should be a part of. I hate to see a guy pigeonhole into one sport. So, you know, he's going to be a football player. Or even on a team, he's going to be a center, or he's going to be a defensive back. Let him develop those talents. Let him show you what he can do. You know, ask him what he'd like to be. It has to be inclusive. And I think that the thing that, not only that, life has to be included. Right now, we take up a kid's entire life. If he's a developer of sport, he's signed in college, he knows what college he's going to go to, he's in 10th grade. It might be football, but this kid, he may be a tennis player. You know, I think that we have to step back as adults. This is an adult thing. We have to step back as adults and look at that situation and see what's best for the kid. Because all of them are not going to be professionals, you know, and the ones that you pick usually are not. Because it's just somebody out there. It's kind of like now you watch Division One football or whatever. And then when the draft come around, they draft a guy from Podunk High you never heard of, and he come out and be all pro his first year. So you have to give them an opportunity, and you see where they develop, and you see where they end up.
Again, our guest right now is Kenny Houston, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Spent his time with the Houston Oilers and the Washington Redskins, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1986. Kenny, we got to talk about another really great thing going on. Mike Ditka and the Great Iron Greats Assistance Fund. We had an opportunity to talk to Mel Renfro about this a couple of weeks back. I think it's a phenomenal program, and you have a role in this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is I'm happy that he got it started because, you know, Mike was very passionate, and he's very passionate about what he does now. I had an opportunity to play against him, but you don't hear that much about him anymore. And he's doing all these good things with the Gridiron Greats, and he's raising money, which is the hardest thing to do, to help players that were not necessarily all pros or Hall of Famers or whatever, where they get some assistance. So he started this assistance fund. And I guess I don't know what people call him. I call him great because I had to play against him, and he was as tough as nails. And he still had that persona about him that, you know, make him that kind of guy. And so it's really, if it were not for guys like Mike, a lot of guys would be in trouble. I had ran into health problems. I've had two cancers in remission right now. And so I understand what it means when a person can just give you a help. You're one illness away from being broke. You know, I mean, and that's probably a pretty good way to put it. So you have to think about the guys who are behind you or even in front of you. And Mike does that with the Gridiron Greats.
Yeah, it truly is a fantastic program. Again, Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund. I know that this works hand-in-hand with National Pork Rind Appreciation Day, which is coming up during Super Bowl Sunday. So I have to ask you this, Kenny. How is it different this year from any years past?
Well, you know, it's really a very unique idea. They have this thing called a Southern Recipe, a small batch. It's a high-protein, low-carb keto-friendly pork skin. And let me tell you about the pork skin, because you sound like a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
Well, I used to say to my grandfather, and this time of the year, they would go out and they would, I won't use the term, but they would address how they were going to get that pork skin. So they'd relieve these animals of their life, and they would fry pork skin. And this was really a unique idea that I hadn't thought about, and I ate them during my childhood. And now they come out with this Southern Recipe small batches, high protein, low carb, keto friendly. But it's a great pork skin. It's a great way to spend your day doing the game. You know, and we have them around. You know, when I started, I didn't really know about them before I heard about it. And I started eating them, and they are great. So this is all in promotion for them. It's where you can go to visit porkrind.com, and you can win up to $5,000. So I would suggest you go to porkrind.com, tune in, and they will tell you how you can win this money. And so all of this is tying together. They've made this Pork Rind Appreciation Day, which is Super Bowl Sunday. And they also assist Mike Dichter. So it's just a good thing. And let me thank you guys, too, for allowing this to happen. You know, it's when you get to be my age, there are not many radio shows you can come on and talk or even tell people about your past. Or they don't even want to know about your past, even though we're stuck in the past because we played there. And so the Hall of Fame has provided a format for us to, along with Southern Recipe Small Batch, come out and you hear about us. And so I appreciate that, and I want to thank you.
Excellent conversation with Kenny Houston, again, talking about Mike Dichter and the Gridiron Greats Foundation as well. I think that's fantastic. We've had a couple of members of that organization come on and talk about the great things that Mike Dichter is doing. All around fun conversation to have. Let's break one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.